Just me and you, just the two.
Hey y'all, what's up? I want to first apologize before we get into this thing. I want to first apologize if the video is jumbled up. I'm jacked up. I got an eye up here and an eye down here. I want to just apologize. Let's bring on it. See how I'm clicking and clacking on this thing? Woo! The devil is a lie.
But you're not doing it on the screen over there.
Yeah, but there's some foolery that happened.
Okay, hey, Onis.
Hey, Onis.
Hey, people. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, everything is all right tonight. We doing good.
Yeah.
Baby, go to Facebook and check us out. See if our video is clear. We want our listening audience to see us
take my phone
clearly.
And do what you need to do.
What's going on, Onis? What's going on?
I'm good.
Did you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of this beautiful weather today in Houston?
I did.
Yeah, this was great. It was a beautiful day. I got a chance to roll around on my bike and everything today. So I'm in good shape. I enjoyed my day.
What? Bye.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to Get on two wheels and put some wind in your face.
I'm sitting here with my wife with all these gadgets.
Gadgets everywhere. Y'all got to excuse her. She has a fascination with gadgets.
We're supposed to be at the studio tonight to make sure that our video is clear. But because of the way this world is set up, we had to be right here in the dining room.
Yes. But hey, better here than nowhere.
What's going on? Look, Onis, Donald Trump won't get out the White House.
I thought I told you about Donald Trump. I'm hoping he act a fool with these people. They gave him to tomorrow to get his stuff together. He is refusing to let Joe Biden sit in on the briefings, or the president's briefings on a daily, because Biden is supposed to be able to sit in on the briefings now, because he's getting ready to, you know, switch over. But Donald Trump is not wanting to allow Biden to sit in on the briefings that they have daily. So a judge gave Donald Trump until tomorrow, Friday, to get it together and let Biden sit in on the briefings, or he's going to intervene, he said. I'm looking for intervention. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I think everybody.
I'm looking for the intervention. I want to see him hog-tie Donald Trump, drag his fat behind out of there, and throw him in the back of a paddy wagon somewhere, and drive him straight to New York, so the district attorney and the attorney general can go ahead and start prosecution charges against this clown. And I'm looking for him to be locked up before summertime next year.
Because
they're gonna drag it out, you know.
What happened was they stopped giving him his medication.
Huh?
Well, I always tell people, you got to quit cutting your medicine in half. You take all your milligrams. Them people know what they're talking about. When they give you 200 milligrams, you take 200 of them. Don't take no 100. You're going
to
be half crazy.
Pill in half.
You're going to be half crazy, too.
Only if they got to split that pill in half. Donald say, give me one quarter of it. I just want a quarter. Give me the tip of the, get just
Yeah. If you give him a quarter, then he's three quarters crazy.
But you know,
how about that?
It's really sad.
They are allowing this.
You know, they can stop this anytime.
Exactly. But see, the thing about it is, Onus, Donald Trump has done nothing in the White House traditional way. He's always been everything that they thought a black president would have been if he got in there. You know, do it the way he want to do it. I tell people all the time, Barack Obama was the first black president. Donald Trump is the first nigger president we done had.
Oh, my God.
Donald Trump is a nigger. And I tell people this all the time. When I say nigger, I'm not talking about a color.
Come on.
Nigger is a mentality, and it's a way of the way that you respond and act. That's what nigger is. Nigger is not your skin color.
Okay, now that opens up a whole can of worms.
I have a question. Go ahead.
Okay.
I hope I have an answer.
We take such offense to that word.
Right.
Because of the history of that word. People have become comfortable with that word. Other nationalities that believe they're down with everything.
Hispanics use it more than anybody.
I don't like the word.
Well, let me give you Well, she asked a question. So let me give you a background of me on that word. When I was in the sixth grade, I got shipped out to a school in River Oaks, T.H. Rogers Middle School. We were the first black kids to go to school out there in River Oaks. And it was probably about, I think it was five. Five black guys and about seven black girls that they put in the sixth grade out there in the Vanguard program. The first day I got to school, we were all, you know, all the guys are getting together and we was, you know, meeting each other because it wasn't the five of us, you know, like 12 of us all together.
So we're standing around and
this little white kid walked through the middle of us while we're talking. And he said, "Watch out, nigga." And I was like, What did he just say? And I walked over there where he was at his locker. And I said, "Man, what did you just say?" He said, "You heard me, Nick. All you got to say was Nick."
Oh.
By the time he said Nick, I was already in his mouth with a right hook.
Well,
and he hit it. When I hit him in the face, his head hit the lockers, and he slid down the wall like snot. And they took me to the principal's office. Now, this is the first day of school. They took me to the principal's office, and the principal, now mind you, I'm in the sixth grade, but I'm probably about 5'7", probably about 200 pounds. So I get to the principal's office, and the principal probably like 5'8", 5'8 and a half. He's a little bit taller than me, but I'm bigger than he is, and he's a white guy. And the principal said, "Well, hey, guy, why'd you hit him?" I said, "Because he called me a nigga." He said, "Well, you hit him like that because he called you a name?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what if I call you that?" I said, "I'm going to hit you too." He said, "Let me call your dad." He told me, he said, "Let me call your dad." He called my dad. They gave me 3 days suspension the first day of school out there in T.H. Rogers Middle School. I never had no more problems out there than white kids out there. I never heard that word again. I went there from the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I never heard that word again. And I never had no more problems at that school. When I tell you I rock this world, I rock this world.
It does something to me. Let me just dial it in. You deal with some white people or Spanish, and they'll quit to say my name.
Right.
I tell them, you know the basis of that word. What makes you think that we're so cool that you can use that word?
Exactly. Well, let me be honest with you, owners. I don't use that word in mixed company.
No.
You see what I'm saying? When I'm around other races, I don't like to use that word. And I don't like people around me using that word when we're amongst mixed company. Now, if it's just us talking, and then, you know, me and Reggie or something, I might say, what's up, my nigga? You know, something like that. The word nigga may come out my mouth when we're having just a casual conversation. That's fine. But I wouldn't use the word if there was a white guy there or Hispanic or Asian or something else. That I would not use that word, because the thing about it, if they hear me using that word with Reggie, they may feel comfortable enough to say it, and that's when the fight starts.
Oh, they will.
Plain and simple. That's because I'm going to tell you, you call me that and you ain't of my race and I don't know you, I'm going in your mouth. And that's just all it is to it.
Oh, yeah.
I might as well go and get some bun money to go.
Yeah, the fight is definitely on.
Yeah, fight go with that.
Yeah.
Reggie, we're talking about the word nigga and other people using it. You know, other races, how they feel so comfortable nowadays that they use it in our presence. And she was asking, how do I feel about it? I told her the story about me getting almost kicked out of T.H. Rogers the first day I got there. You know, because I was like, man, I'm not gonna have you white kids calling me no nigga around here. I don't know what movie you done watch, but my name is James Daniels, not Kunta Kinte, and I don't care if you got an ex or not. You're not finna, you know, I just wasn't going for it.
Well, there are two words.
I almost got kicked out day one.
I don't care how close the friends we call ourselves. There were two words. I bet y'all can guess the second one.
B-I-T-C-H. Yeah. I know that second word.
No, I don't care. We can be the best of girlfriends.
Right.
But I'm not to be a TCA.
Right. I already knew that was coming.
Because I don't have to accept that.
If we friends, one word.
No. Oh, Lord, Reggie. What they hit? They left us. What happened? Where'd they go? Oh, Lord.
Can you hear me? Y'all doing it. She got too much stuff at her disposal. That's not what's going on.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Can
y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you. I hear a lot of squealing.
It's still squealing?
A little bit, yeah.
Cut this off. Just cut it off.
Just go back to the show.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
Go back to the show. Oh, my goodness.
Y'all see what I got to put up with?
Lord.
Yeah, but that's still on over there. I can still hear that. That's where you're getting the feedback from.
Baby, it's cutting off. Can you let the phone cut off? Y'all about to see it. Can you let the phone cut off? Do it.
So tonight, Reggie, you got some burn money.
You can loan me
with your husband.
I'll get back to you when I get out.
24/7.
Man, I got to put up with this on a daily basis, bro.
You know, I've never been called the word nigga, but I got suspended for being called a boy.
Oh yeah, that's another one. That's another sensitive word. Hey, like Michael Evans say, boy is a white racist word.
Yeah.
You got put down, Reggie. What happened?
I got suspended for slapping the blood out of somebody's mouth for calling me a boy.
Yeah.
And the assistant principal, he was trying to tell me, well, you are a boy. I said, yeah, I am. But he's not finna call me a boy. And it ain't what he said. It's how he said it. You know? You know exactly what he was trying to say.
Right.
And, they suspended me, but yeah, I was good with it. But I ain't had that problem no more.
Right, yeah. Exactly. What I'm telling on is I didn't have that problem in 3 more years at T.H. Rogers. I never heard that word again. Now, they might have said it when they went home, but they didn't say it in my presence.
Well, I was in Dallas, Texas, when this little white girl called me a nigga, you know? And I was a fighter when I was in school, you know? I was always... Baby, watch out.
See what I'm talking about? See how she put her hands on me, y'all?
I didn't put my hands on him, honest.
You seen that? They seen that? That's on tape. You being prosecuted, I'm telling you now. I'm coming to every court appearance.
Listen,
you are a menace to society. You're a menace. You're
Let's cute move
menace,
on.
But you're a menace.
I ain't got time for that. I'm trying to do a show. Listen, so I was on the play. I was in Dallas, Texas. We lived in Dallas, Texas. And this little white girl called me a nigga. Right. And I originally brought a knife to school to deal with the boy that was throwing girls behind the bushes. But I was a kid. I was bad. So when she called me a nigga, the energy transferred to her. I ended up cutting the girl. I ended up expelled for the rest of the year. But that whole nigga phrase, and I'm saying it.
Juvenile delinquent. I married a juvenile delinquent. Woo, Lord. Hey, man, you got to do your homework when you get married. I'm just telling y'all.
Quiet as this kept, she married a thug. You just didn't get caught. Thank you, Otis.
What's
I
she
got
saying?
Yes, Otis.
What's
I got you. I married a thug. Quiet.
Oh, I ain't no thug, but I can be.
He's a thug. What?
I can be if I need to be. I ain't forgot.
Hey, Reggie.
I ain't too far gone from it.
You ain't.
Yeah.
You ain't. You ain't got to tell me. I know.
Hey, Reggie, earlier we were talking about Donald Trump not wanting to leave the White House.
Hey.
Did you hear about the judge that told him he got till tomorrow to start letting Joe Biden sit in on the daily briefings of the presidency? Are they going to start taking some measures?
Or we going to beat you up? That's what they
said. Well, I thought he said that he's the president. He has total power, complete power. So
hey, man, I am truly hoping he bucked the system.
I do too. I want to see what's going
on. If for nothing else, pure entertainment value.
Yeah.
I want to see him hog-tied and drug out of there on his belly. I hope they grab him by that little red tie and drag him out of there.
Well, who's the little what are they calling them?
Huh?
The wet boys.
The Proud Boys.
The Proud Boys.
Yeah, stand back and stand by is what he told them.
Yeah.
Well, he's gonna need every last one of them.
Out of here.
Yeah, he better get a U-Haul and tell them Proud Boys to come pack some boxes.
Because
they finna get up out of there, all of them. Got to go. You ain't gotta go far, but you got to get the hell up out of D.C.
But you know, the thing is, it's really sad because we are supposed to be a country of democracy.
Well, you gotta understand, like I said, Donald Trump has followed no president decorum at all.
At all.
The entire time he's been in the White House, has been a buffoon. He's been a laughingstock of the country. He has been a laughingstock of the world because, look, you even got celebrating, you know, other foreign leaders are celebrating the fact that Donald Trump got put out the White House.
Yeah. Because
they didn't want to deal with it.
Mm. No.
It's a bunch of countries that weren't dealing with us and didn't want to deal with us because Donald Trump was the president.
To deal with
him. I don't blame him.
He had no decor. You, we went from classy to trash is what we did. That's what we did. But what's the, you know, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, the amount of people, especially in Texas and Florida, majority Hispanic or whatever they call themselves, Latino or whatever, majority in Texas and Florida. Why did he carry those states?
Well, let me explain something to you. Texas and Florida have always been red states. They have always been red states. And the thing about it is, you have a lot of country hicks in both of these states that are going to vote for Donald Trump. Now, he ain't doing nothing for them either, but they're going to vote Republican because they didn't always traditionally voted Republican. Now, another thing is, you got a lot of Hispanics who voted for Donald Trump because, I, believe it or not, there's a lot of Hispanics don't think that they, you know, that they are, they try to pass for white.
Yeah.
They think that they are white people. Yes. But all they got to do is get pulled over by the wrong law and they will understand that they ain't white.
No, you'll get
just like you got a lot of
papers in order.
You got a lot of
your papers in order, or you going right straight to the border, baby.
And like I tell you, there's a lot of affluent black people as well who vote Republican all the time, too.
Oh, God.
You know, soon as these Negroes get $1.50 over bus fare, they swear they'd have made it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So you, and then they all of a sudden they're Republican now, and you know they this and they that, and they, you know, I vote Republican all the time, but they don't understand that unless you make, you know, a certain amount of money, that Republicans, you know, bill of right. I mean, the rights that they pass and the laws that they pass are not going to help you at all. You got to be in a certain tax bracket for the Republican party's ideology to affect your money.
Hmm.
So, but you know, as soon as a Negro get $1.50 over bus fare, he move out of a 2-bedroom house into a 3-bedroom house. He swear to God, he done made it. You know, and that's just how we are. I don't understand it. I tell people all the time, we are in 2020, you got a lot of black folks still trying to please master.
Oh, yeah.
We got this slave mentality. We want to fit in. We want to be like them. We trying to do the same thing them white folks do. I'm not even nowhere near. Now,
I think that we should enrich our own culture. And I know
exactly
that our culture has been watered down, you know, 400 years of slavery. But know who you are, you know who you are and enrich your culture, who you are, embrace who we are. We are scared to do it because I honestly don't think a lot of us know, you know.
Well, the thing about it is, we as black people, first of all, don't trust each other in nothing. We don't trust each other in business. We don't trust each other a lot of times in friendships. We don't trust each other in a lot of things. But that is by the slave mentality being passed down from family to family.
But that's also got to do with the integrity of some of the
exactly. Stuff. I mean, you,
so
you
how, we get, how we, because I know we go back to a lot of different, I mean, how we say about the slave mentality, but it's a lot of things that people do today that has nothing to do with that. They just are outright thieves and they, you know, have no integrity at all.
Well, the thing is, they had what they call the Willie Lynch laws back in the day, and they asked, Willie Lynch was a famous slaver that they taught him. They wanted them to teach them how to control the black slaves.
Right.
How you can have a household of about 9 or 10 white people on the plantation and control 200 black slaves with 9 people. And he told them the best way to do it is divide them. Make one think they better than the other.
Yeah.
We still carry that in our spirit right now. You know, light skin think they better than dark skin. You know, or this, the woman thinks she, you know, this woman thinks she better than that woman. Or this man think he better than that man. That's all you got to do is divide them and conquer them easily.
Yeah.
You know, if you, and I tell people this all the time. I saw a video of J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI back in the late 60s and early 70s. And they asked J. Edgar Hoover in this interview, what was the single most, the single worst threat to white American way of life? And he said two words, black unity.
Yeah.
See, he knew that. He knew if black people ever got together and worked together, we could take over the world without a problem, because we are superior in our physical, mental, and health. While we live longer than them anyway, by normal, as long as we ain't eating gravy sandwiches and our blood pressure 300 over 300, and we study pouring hot sauce on stuff, we'll outlive them by nature.
Hot sauce on pork.
Yeah. All of that.
Just go ahead but and get your bottle of salt and pour it down the throat.
Basically.
And you'll be dead next week.
Well, I mean, you just
put maybe that night
a tub of hot sauce on
them. Yeah, on some pig feet.
On a whole pig.
From the root, what they call it, rooter to the tooter.
From the root.
Yeah, we eat the pig from the rooter to the tooter. I ain't gonna lie, I'm like Reggie's told Reggie. What you told that doctor when he told you going to stop eating pork chops and bacon? I'm like, Reggie said the doctor told him to stop eating pork chops and bacon. And Reggie said he told the doctor, take me now, Lord.
I would have been in there. I was like, this owner, it gotta be a better way.
Let me tell you something. Man.
Ain't no way.
There is no reason to stop eating bacon. I don't know who came up with the blasphemy of creating turkey bacon. What part of the damn turkey is turkey bacon coming from? First of all, it tastes like plastic, and I don't think it's real. I'm just being honest with you. I think it's a fallacy that the white folks done put on the market, and they try to fool us. There is no part of the damn turkey that bacon come from. Now, the belly of that hog, you can cut all the bacon you want to off of it. Let me tell you something. Bacon, pork chops, and ham.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like some good cured smoked ham. Let me tell you something. They can forget it. Let me tell you something. I'm like Reggie. You take me now, Lord. If I got to stop eating that, it's going to be death by pork for me.
Bacon go on everything.
It go what? Man, look. Everything. Let me tell you something. You can.
I got to have bacon almost, on everything.
You can wrap bacon around a cucumber and it's going to taste amazing.
I just thought about that. Yes.
I don't care what you got making around and cook it. It's going to be good. It's going to be better than what it would have been by itself.
Yes. Yes.
Look, you can the ham. But look, Chris, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, people buy the ham, eat the ham, and put that ham bone in some beans, greens, or some that ham bone is heaven, baby.
Ain't that's what look between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's when my beans get made in the crock pot with that ham bone in it. You hear me? You put that ham bone in there and cut up your few jalapenos.
Come on,
and
teach.
Put in them beans.
Teach.
Look here, you got a whole meal, brother.
Yes,
and a pan of Jiffy cornbread. I make this hot water cornbread.
Yeah, I love
no
the hot water cornbread. You make hot water cornbread, Reggie?
What?
I never made it before. I know how to make it, but I never made it.
What?
I believe I never made it.
Oh, I know
Reggie can cook. Reggie can make it. I believe
he can cook it.
That's
make
what
it.
You call living your blessed. BLESSED life. Yes.
Yeah. When he's listen, he's cooking. See, men and cooking.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry. It's just something.
It's wonderful.
It's just something about a man that I love a man who can out cook and out clean me. That is definite turn on to me.
Glory.
Yes.
Look, I clean up the house, but it's not like he can't. Listen, let me tell you. This man right here. Every man he know, not every man. Most of the men he know can cook. Can barbecue, my Lord, let me tell you.
Reggie, you almost got in a argument and a fight at the church barbecue because he barbecued and his other cat told Reggie that was his thing. And the dude got mad because the dude's wife came and told him how good Reggie's ribs were.
See what I'm saying? Honest. Do you hear what I'm saying?
It ain't Reggie's fault, though.
And of course it ain't Reggie's fault. It wasn't Reggie's fault, but it was his problem.
Yeah,
it was his problem.
Reggie said, first I thought he was joking, but the nigga face was serious.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he was serious, Reggie.
He came over to the tent and warned me first that he heard about me, but I don't know how he heard about me. But then he after the event was over with, he came back and told me, "Man, I thought I told you." I was like,
"Now, Otis, this is at a church function. This is at a church function. This man talking about, I thought I told you."
Devil go to church too. He beat it. He beat the preacher there. Devil go to church. Listen,
oh my God! That was hilarious to me.
Nobody can name a barbecue place better than any brothers I know that had a pit in the backyard. I don't know of any barbecue place. We deal with it.
Let me tell you,
everybody, we deal with these places, but there is no better barbecue than I know, several brothers. You know, the brother that did the turkey legs for our gathering.
Oh, yeah, that was those were ridiculous. You hear me? I ate everything off that turkey leg.
Look, I
was almost ashamed to give it to the dog. I got through with it.
It was clean, wasn't it? It was a dinosaur bone, wasn't it?
It looked like it belonged in the museum.
I know. I've done it several times.
I got through with it.
Several times. I do it on a regular basis. He told me last night he wasn't going to feed me no more. I told him, we're going to fight. We're going to straight up fight, brother. No more turkey legs, no more sausage in my life. No, you can't do me that way.
Let me give women a warning. I just want to give women a warning. If you go to a man's house and you go in the backyard or front yard or wherever he got his barbecue pit at, and it look brand spanking new, you visit that third time,
and it still look
brand spanking new, leave him alone.
Look, you know the perfect barbecue pit. You know the perfect barbecue pit. You know these big barrels that they take to the welder and they cut them in half. And
right.
Put the hinges on them and you raise them up. Okay, so the barbecue pits that I was raised with, you know, they done got weather because they've been out there in the elements and you know you got to take the grate off and put some work on it and. You know, scrape all the residue off
right.
And burn the coals. You know, you got a bonfire in there. You know, you create a bonfire and then the coals cool down. And it's kind of rusty, you know. Be careful because the bottom might be rusted out or burnt out or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they done threw, you know, it ain't fancy. It ain't fancy. It's just.
Oh, you don't need nothing fancy.
You don't need nothing fancy.
No, I don't need nothing fancy.
It's just that big pit about to fall over.
Yeah, it got one wheel off of it.
That big barrel that they cut in half and put hinges and a stack pipe on it. And you just raise it up to smoke.
Hey, owners didn't study. Now, listen. Oh, I got enough. Hey, y'all know I always got something crazy. But I let me talk to Reggie. Reggie,
yeah,
I want to tell you what happened to me.
Uh oh. She look at that. I seen that.
I went to a church service. Went to a church service. After the church service and all of that, they passed out plates. Now, get what I said. They passed out plates. Now, in the plate was a leg quarter.
That Baptist
leg and
quarter.
A thigh, but a leg quarter.
the Baptist-led quarter, Reggie. We seen them before.
Hold on, I gotta get this out. The skin on the leg quarter was pitch black.
Oh Lord!
Hold on, it wasn't burnt. Somebody inform me of this stuff called what, baby?
Liquid smoke.
Liquid smoke.
Yeah.
I said to myself, I said,
Self.
I said, I don't know what manner of evil this is, but this got to be a sin. Can you tell me, Reggie, you heard of liquid smoke?
I've heard it, but I never used it.
We never use it.
Oh, it turns the skin, and then it leaks through to the meat, and the meat had a little blue tint on it.
Yeah. Liquid smoke.
Yep.
I had never in my life seen a leg quarter of this type. That's what I always tell people. When people hand you a plate and it's closed and rush you out of a building, don't eat that. Leave that alone.
Hey Reggie, that's what they call them Baptist leg quarters. You know they give them at the Baptist church after they get through. You know, on Fellowship Sunday.
And then they got a line going around to the fellowship hall.
Yeah, around and you get that tray and get on about your business. Now we holler at you later.
Along with that heavy potato salad. Yeah, I ain't gonna get started.
That potato salad, you and don't ask who made the potato salad.
Better not have no raisins in it.
You ain't never had real church potato salad. I'm not talking about somebody that know how to make. I'm talking about when that sister got, she was told that she was responsible for the potato salad. And you show up, you understand me? And she put get that big metal spoon. Everybody know what metal spoon I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got
that big old metal spoon. And she put that metal spoon in that bowl. And when she lift that spoon, the whole bowl
come up off the table. You don't want
none. You don't want none of that.
No,
potato salad ain't got no business being that heavy. I don't care what nobody say.
That's got quick crete in it that you buy at Home Depot. That quick concrete it must be mixed in with the mayonnaise.
Baby.
You eat it. Guess what happens? Guess what happens when you eat it? It hit the bottom of your stomach like you got to eat it. Kaboom!
When they fix your plate on it, and when they put that potato salad on your plate, and your plate slide a little bit, you better not eat that.
That damn potato salad too heavy. Potato salad not supposed to weigh 25 pounds per scoop.
It's an anchor. Ooh, maybe it's put in a whole plate in place so they can fix it.
Don't do me that.
Baby.
Don't do me.
That lady took that silver spoon and said, boom.
And your plate shot across the table. Yeah, I don't want none of that. I'm good.
Thanksgiving coming.
Maybe dirty rice is up.
Thanksgiving coming.
Yeah, I'm going to make the potato salad. I'm going to make it.
Thanksgiving is coming.
I'm bringing the raisins.
What do I say?
She bringing the raisins.
Baby, let me tell you something. Don't you bring me a raisin over here about no food. Hey, Reggie, you seen that video of Country Wayne?
Yeah, I seen that video.
And a white girl bring the potato salad with the raisins in, and he snatches his shoe off and start hitting it. I kept them all. She say, I bought that. He say, what is this? She said, them raisins. He say, raisins in a potato salad? You need to be raising up out of here with that. That's what you need to do. Raising your behind up out of here with that. Same though you came in with it, go out of it with that.
I didn't know raisins were in potato salad.
What?
What'd you say, Reggie?
I didn't know raisins go in potato salad.
Hey, man.
No, they don't, Reggie.
They don't, bro.
It's just people just be trying anything.
That's like I seen somebody putting boiled eggs in gumbo.
Ew.
Yeah, I've heard of that. In fact, I got into an argument with somebody about it one day because a lady from Louisiana, I guess somebody was bragging about my gumbo, and she got offended, and she was like, "I heard you can cook good gumbo." I said, "It's all right." No, she's like, "But do you put boiled eggs in?" I said, "What? Boiled eggs?" I said, no, I don't put boiled eggs. I'm like, well, you don't cook no good gumbo. I said, well, I guess I don't.
Reggie, I don't know, you know. Let me ask you a question.
Say it ain't going to never be good, huh, Reggie?
Reggie, what in the hell is a boiled egg doing in gumbo?
In gumbo.
Hey, JD, some people put it in there. I found out.
Hey, man.
Some people put it in there.
I was in this food group on Facebook. I seen a Negro cut up some wieners and put in gumbo.
And put it in the gumbo.
I say, wait a damn minute. No. Now, you cut sausage up, you don't cut up wieners. No. I'm talking about them 88 cent a pack ass wieners.
It was low budget gumbo. Mm-hmm.
Them 88 cent a pack wieners, man. He didn't cut them boys up and stuck them. Boy, if you
don't... It was kiddie gumbo for kids.
You put them kind of wieners in poker meat. And give them the kids as beanie wieners. You do not cut them up and put them in no gumbo.
I'm just trying to make sense of gumbo.
Whatever.
I almost got ran off one time because I went over to somebody's house. They cooked some gumbo. I said, this ain't gumbo. This is broth. She's like, broth. I said, this is broth. He said, all you did was put some seafood and some water and boil it. This is broth. Hey, she was mad. You can't be talking about my mama gumbo. I said, again, it's not gumbo. It's broth.
Mm-mm. Hey man, let me tell you something.
Gumbo, the secret is in the roux and fresh onions, bell pepper, celery, the garlic, the oregano. It's so simple. You do your roux, you put your fresh,
I was just gonna say the thing is.
And your meat, if you like sausage and chicken, do that. If you like sausage, chicken, shrimp, do that. If you want to throw some blue crabs in there, do that. But all this other extra, why you put vegetables in gumbo? You made soup.
I've had different people. My aunt, she cooked gumbo, and she used some turkey wings. It was pretty good.
You go get them turkey wings cut up. You can tell them you want them cut gumbo style.
Yeah.
You put them up in small little pieces. I've seen that. I done put turkey wings in my. I put chicken wings in there. I take chicken breasts. You put the breast meat, or wings in there, or like you say, turkey wings cut up in gumbo style. Those are the meats that you that's the first meat you put in there because that take the longest to get tender. Mm. See, but your key to a good gumbo is the roux first.
There you go.
If you can't make no roux, get your behind out the kitchen.
Bye-bye.
Don't go to the stove talking about I'm getting that old powdered roux mix. Don't do that.
You'll know my being a grocery store, a white dude was standing in front of me. And he seen I was buying some ingredients of gumbo, and he started talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, man, I would love to cook some gumbo myself, but it's just too greasy. I said, but you ain't cooking it right. I told him the way I cook it, you don't even have to worry about that because I don't use grease in my gumbo at all. So I just told him, I said, man, this is what you do. You get you some flour, put it in a skillet, and burn it. Just brown it without no. He said without grease. I said without grease.
Yeah, just
burn it and keep stirring it till get to the color that you want it to be. Because I like my gumbo dark. You know, a lot of people don't like it as dark as I like it, but how you want it. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about no grease. Just put it in the water and let it boil. That's all you have to do. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I cook my gumbo. I don't have. It's not greasy at all.
And then let me ask you a question, Reggie. What about them people that go get that gumbo filet?
And turn their gumbo green.
Yeah, I say give that green bowl of damn gumbo.
Yeah, I seen somebody with some green gumbo one time.
Yeah, I don't want
to. I explained to him, I said, man, he said, man, you don't use filet? I said, no, but you gonna turn your gumbo. If you put too much in it, you're gonna turn your gumbo green. Sure enough, he has some green gumbo.
Yeah. I've seen that one before where they use half of the bottle of half a bottle of filet. I'll be like, bro, what are you doing? I don't use filet at all.
I don't use it at all because really I don't know how to use it. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I don't use it.
It's supposed to make your gumbo thicker, but that's to me, that's what the flour is for.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the thing is, if you want, all you gotta do if you want it thicker is make you a slurry with some cornstarch or something and pour it in there and mix it up.
I do that sometimes. Sometimes I just sift some flour on the top of it and stir it in. You know, it just depends on how fast I'm trying to cook it or what I'm doing.
Right, but it's easy and it's less stirring if you make the slurry outside of it and then pour it in there.
So I got a question for everybody. Is what are y'all gonna cook for Christmas?
That gumbo is coming for Christmas.
Gumbo coming for Christmas at your house,
Gumbo,
Chris?
Gumbo coming for Christmas. Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. You know, I cooked some gumbo yesterday for my anniversary, so I don't know.
It depends on.
Oh, thank you. It depends on what Vi wants. You know what I'm saying? Usually whatever she wants is what I cook.
Right.
You know, so
I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. Thanksgiving, fried turkey, baked turkey, candied ham, and turkey dressing got to be made. Potato salad, all that's going down for Thanksgiving over here.
Good.
Christmas, I'm doing probably gumbo and probably some etouffee.
With my little rice.
Yeah, we're going to have some. So y'all welcome to come over, get your plate. Sit down and let's watch a movie or something.
They say we can't congregate for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they say for Thanksgiving. Yeah. They said on the news that if you're going to do Thanksgiving, do it outside on the yard.
They said 10 people.
Or just fix your food at home and Skype or Zoom everybody.
Boy, hush.
And y'all eat dinner at the same time on Zoom. Bam.
But what about that's gonna leave them folks out that come with the to go plate? So they just go, how you gonna Zoom to go plate?
I got to go plates over here, dog.
Oh yeah, we always have
I got plenty plate. Of them.
If some folks come to your house, you want them to go.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
But what about those people? If you know they saying you Zoom everybody, you eat and Zoom. What about those people that, hey, they don't never bring anything, so therefore they don't have anything. So they sitting there watching you eat and probably be like, hey, bro, can you Zoom me to go play? Can you,
What you want me to fax it to them?
Yeah.
I'm gonna fax you some ham. I'll be damned.
Put it in a Tupperware, put it in a box.
It's not gonna happen.
Take a picture of it, fax it, click it to them. You know, them the people that's gonna suffer. Cause you know, on our menu, we're having stuffed fried turkey.
Jesus.
With dirty rice.
Uh-huh.
Inside the turkey.
Jesus.
And fried. And I probably do greens, them are greens.
Mm.
You know.
Okay.
Lord have mercy.
Well, if you can go and eat all that potato salad over there with them raisins in there, you want to. till your belly pop. There ain't nobody coming to eat none of that.
Probably do pink cloud fruit salad. Y'all missed the banana pudding. Y'all missed.
I don't even want
to. I'm going to make her one for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't even want
to
talk about it.
Yeah. I know how to make banana pudding too.
Mm-hmm. Missed the banana pudding. Sure did.
I'm going to make a little more banana.
I don't like bananas, so she's gonna come through.
The banana pudding is pretty much on for me. Cobbler.
Yeah, I'm gonna either make banana pudding or peach cobbler, one of the two. Might make both.
I like cobbler with some good crust on it. Anytime somebody tell me they can make cobbler, and I go in there and it's just a thin layer of crust on top, and it's just a bunch of peaches. I've had some bad experiences, and the dough is gummy. You know,
that ain't right.
I just want you to try again. That's why I say on the holidays, don't make it the time.
The first time you made something. Don't do that.
Don't.
Why people do that?
Y'all try this. This is my first time. Try this. Don't do that.
You gonna guinea pig somebody on Thanksgiving. Man, I got my mind made up to how this supposed to taste, and you gonna guinea pig me on Thanksgiving? Oh, it's gonna be a rough.
Let me tell you about my mother. Old school peach cobbler. Old school.
Huh.
the doll made from scratch. She lined the bottom of
it. She making me hungry.
With dough.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Then she got 50 strips of it on top. And then she curl it around the side. You know how you lay it out, then curl it around the side. Then she take real butter, brown sugar, and sugar and cinnamon, sprinkle it across the top.
You got to.
And then let it just bake, and it just be bubbling and
hallelujah, I know.
And it just be so flaky, you know? It be so flaky. It just, I want it when it first come out the oven. Just give me when it first come out the oven. And it's so good. Let me tell you, it's so good, you know, like a lot of, I'm not big on cooked fruit so much. But when you can eat it cold and it's still good,
all I'm saying,
a good peach cobbler. Good peach cobbler.
I'm going to buy all my stuff for the dough and all that next week. So, yeah, it's going down. Yeah, it's going down right here. And then I'm making sweet potato pies too.
I got sweet,
and I'm going to do pecan pies. Okay, baby says she.
I'm going to do the pecan pies, the sweet potato pies, and the cheesecake.
I'll trade you. A half a pistachio cake for some pecan pie and potato pie.
It's a deal. Sound like a deal.
Yeah, with the homemade cream cheese icing. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You don't stop it.
Yeah.
Pistachio pie, I've never heard of that. So I've never heard of that.
Pistachio cake?
Yeah.
Woo!
And I love pistachios too. I love
it. It is rich.
Man, I would eat a pound and a half of pistachios.
Did everybody eat dinner?
I had pizza earlier.
Well, we still talk about some food tonight, ain't we?
Yeah, but the holidays, food brings people together.
Right.
You know, so the holidays, this is the perfect time to be talking about meals and helping some of these people that are a little challenged in the kitchen, you know, helping them with some recipes. If you know somebody can't cook and they can't come to your house for Thanksgiving this year, you need to send them your book of recipes. Send them a recipe.
That's what I'm saying. If you know
so and so, like that lady that put all them garlic cloves in that ham she sent me. Pastor Jay, I cut into that ham and all them garlic cloves in there. I was like, oh, Lord bless her soul.
Let me explain something
to you. Jesus be a fit. Let me just,
Reggie, you can attest to this. Honest, you probably can too. They talking about recipes, Reggie. I don't have no recipes. I don't have no quarter teaspoon of this. I tell people, you shake until your ancestors tell you stop.
Oh,
baby, some folk don't know their ancestors.
Until your ancestors say stop, you keep shaking. And you season that meat the way it's supposed to.
Reggie, you got the gift. James got the gift. Owners got the gift. I got a little bit of the gift. But it's some folk that ain't gifted. You got to give them some instructions. And when you give them the instructions, they still not going to get it right. People will have the recipe.
Let me tell you a story, Reggie. I was dating somebody one time, right? And she heard of me talking about how my mama cooked for me, you know, like smothered chicken and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I come home, Reggie, and the house was smelling pretty good. She was like, oh, I cooked dinner. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I said, what you cook? Oh, I smothered some chicken. I'm like, okay, you smothered some chicken. Reggie, I got a chicken leg over some rice with some broth poured over the top of it and some unseasoned green bean. I said,
she took the broth from the...
Reggie, she put the chicken in the pot and just let it cook. and the water that come off of it, you know, after it cooked, she poured that on top of there, talking about that was gravy. She, I say, wait a minute. I thought you said you made smothered chicken. Oh, that's clear gravy. I say, what the hell is clear gravy? Bruh.
That's a new thing. People are inventing stuff.
I had to have a teaching moment. Okay. I took that chicken back in there, Reggie, took all that clear gravy, and got me some flour.
Well, come on.
And browned it in a skillet.
Yeah.
And put it in it, put the clear gravy in there and made gravy.
The clear gravy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then took the chicken and put it back in the gravy and let it cook for about 20 minutes. And it was so tender and fall off the bone that it was real gravy after that. And put that over the top of that rice. Hey, look, like Stewie say, what have we learned? This is a teachable moment, man. You can't leave nobody out there. I said, what in the hell is clear gravy?
Clear, she was serious.
And she, what? Dead serious.
Baby, that is clear gravy. In this society today, just like on Facebook, you can be whoever you want to be. In the kitchen, if that's what you call it, that's what it is. It's clear gravy.
The hell you say?
You just tell her that you don't like transparent gravy. You like
Reggie. When you pour gravy on rice, you ain't supposed to see straight through it. Your rice ain't supposed to be swimming in the water. That is not gravy.
That's chicken soup. That's chicken.
That's the broth off of that the chicken made. That's all that is. Some broth.
I can't talk about that right now, but I've heard of that before.
Huh?
I said I can't talk about that right now, but I've heard of that before.
Hey man, that was now. Don't get me wrong; it was seasoned well, but it wasn't no gravy.
Again,
look, that's the only reason.
Talk about that right now, but I've heard of that.
That look, that's the. I understand. Hey, bro, you said enough right there. But let me tell you something. I took that clear gravy, as they called it, and poured it in my flour mixture and made real gravy out of it because it was seasoned so good. I still would.
Hey, Onis, that was a teaching moment.
Yeah, that was a teachable moment.
I always tell people ignorance is not an insult, it's an opportunity to learn. It's not an insult.
But look here, bro. I couldn't take that no more. Mm-hmm. I was like, clear gravy. Hey, man, said it with a straight face. I was like, clear gravy.
Oh, Lord, we got 3 minutes.
What the hell is clear gravy?
Oh,
it's serious about it.
What?
Like I said, said it with a straight face.
Don't be playing about it.
I said, oh, my Lord, we're not look, I wasn't ever going to eat clear gravy again in my life, Reggie. We're not having this no more at this house.
And you couldn't let her go out of that house from that day forward thinking that that was gravy. I think you did. You did. You blessed her. You
really did. I tried. I said, what the hell is what did you say, Reggie?
I got in trouble for that one time, so I can't speak on that. Yeah, I can't speak on that.
Okay. he had to teach that. That was a teachable moment though, wasn't it, Reggie?
Hey, no, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
That was an argument.
Oh, you got rebuked.
Let's move on because we don't want to start.
I don't have to worry about it no more. But at the time, though, it was like, and I was like, you know, huh?
What you saying, huh?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So it's like when you you make bacon, and the grease from the bacon is.
Great.
But hey, I'm just leaving alone, man.
That ain't bacon gravy.
Let me
bacon grease. You put that in the can and save it on the stove for when you get ready to cook something else.
All right, we got
it's
like
clear. It's clear.
Huh?
It's clear.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Gravy either come in two ways, Reggie. 30 weight and 40 weight. That's it.
That's just rude.
That's rude. That's rude. You got gravy coming 30 weight and 40 weight. That's it. You cannot have.
What makes it 30 weight? What
it's thinning out a little bit more than 40 weight. That's all.
What's 40 weight?
40 weight is that thick gravy. That stuff that you can make
a sandwich
out of.
They got skin on top of
it. Yeah, that's 40 weight gravy right there, man.
Lord, I
try to stay away from that nowadays, though. Reggie, back in the day, that's the only grave I would make.
I gotta tell Reggie about this before we get off here. Rich, so I was in Walmart of all places, you know, and I was over in the meat department. Owner, she listening to me? I was over in the meat department. And I walked up on a whole hog head.
Snout eyes and everything.
Snout. And it, I mean, just what did they say? Vacuum sealed.
Yeah.
I mean, just a whole pig head. That's the first time I ever saw that in Walmart.
Really?
In Walmart?
Yeah. Walmart.
You mean you went at a meat market?
No, this is at the Walmart.
This is at Walmart.
Right there, bro. They got it right there at the Walmart on South Wayside. The whole head of the
whole head. His
that's
ear.
What they, that's what
they're
Hispanic.
And but see, you got to understand something. Those Hispanics cook all the meat off of that head. And they use it to make tamales.
Yeah.
They make hog head cheese. They make everything off of that head.
Well, I ain't into hog head cheese. What you saying, Onis?
I said that's what the Hispanic and Latino persuasion, that, like you said, they use.
Well, it is on tamales.
Yeah, they boil out, and cook all that meat off of there and make tamales out of it.
Jesus.
And let me tell you something. When they make them tamales out of it, you're going to eat every bit of it.
I bet I am.
You will eat that whole head.
That was just crazy for me to walk in Walmart.
And see that.
And just see a big display. Just full.
It's tamales.
Reggie, I thought she was going to take off running to the car.
Oh, no, I had to get a picture. What you say, Onis?
It's tamales.
What about chicken feet?
Oh, they had them in Fiesta.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to smother them.
Wait a minute. Onis be talking and I can't hear.
Okay.
What'd you say, Onis? You eat chicken feet?
Yeah, I know about them chicken feet. I've seen them cook, but I've never...
Yeah,
no. You got to cook chicken feet for
I'm
about
not a
2 days.
Person, a hog head
for them
cheese.
To be tender. And it ain't enough meat on them for you to be playing with.
I'm not into that.
Yeah, I seen my brother-in-law eat some chicken feet one day. I said, man, what? He was sucking on them. I was like, what are you? How do you eat chicken feet?
Hey, man. My grandmother in the country used to eat everything off the chicken but the beak.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they threw away was the damn beak.
And the feathers.
And the fella, that's it. Look, bro, she would take them chicken feet and cook them and then smother them down and make gravy and put them over the top of some rice.
What I'm
and like you
is,
say, be sucking the meat off of them little bit of feet.
Wait, hold on. I've seen chicken feet.
Yeah.
And you talking about meat on chicken feet.
Yeah. I could take you to Fiesta right now, right there on Macau.
No, it's a whole pack of them up there. I didn't see
it. There's a whole pack of them up there. You can buy them out a big old pack with
plenty of feet. When I saw the hog head, I was done. I was good. I didn't need to see nothing else.
You ain't never, let me ask y'all a question. You ever walked in Fiesta and seen that whole tongue in that pack?
Yeah.
Yes. And the kidneys and the heart.
Yeah.
Oh, enough people.
Yeah.
All right, we got to sign off. We've been on an hour, Lord Jesus. We went from talking good to just I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's some food out there. Let me tell you something. That'll make you stop. If you ever, let me tell you something. If you ever watch a video of how they make hot dogs, you'll never eat another one.
Well, don't do that.
Hey, they throw the whole pig.
Oh, I like chili dogs.
They throw the whole pig in there, grind that boy up.
Well, what's the beef? What's the beef hot dog? What's that made out of? Cow?
Yeah.
Shundo. I don't want to hear nothing that shit ruining my childhood. You're ruining my childhood.
Let me tell you something else you better not never eat. Potted meat.
Oh, I don't eat potted meat.
Oh my
until
God.
You can explain to me why that meat is gritty and how you got it in that can like that. Baby.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna be honest with you. My grandmother used to feed us potted meat like it was caviar.
Oh, my sister eat potted meat like it ain't nothing.
Look, potted meat and some crackers.
Yeah.
Oh man, look at
you. You have to explain stuff to me.
And look, Reg, what they call a hang down, which ain't number summer sausage. They call a hang down. They used to have it on a string at the meat market.
Oh. Okay.
And you go down. Okay. You go down and you say, "I want some. Give me about a half a pound of it." And they take it off that hanger. and cut you by the half a pound and hang it back up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And get and look and give me some rat cheese to go with it.
Oh, you talking about that block of cheese?
Yeah, that
I can't do the rat cheese all the sauce. I can't do either.
Listen, let me tell you something about that cheese, that block. That's a dangerous little weapon right there.
Let me tell you something.
If air get to that cheese is turning solid as a rock.
Let me explain something to you. We used to go to the meat market in Fifth Ward. Reggie, you go get you some summer sausage, some cheese, and some moon cookies. Y'all remember them big old moon cookies?
I remember moon
you
cookies.
Put that cheese and that summer sausage in between them moon cookies and eat that really? All. That, what? Girl, if you ain't never ate that, you've been deprived. You had a bad childhood.
No, I ain't had a bad
childhood. I'm just saying, if you never ate that, you were deprived in your childhood.
There's some things I could do with that.
Huh? Not them moon cookies only this big. They used to be that big. A moon cookie
is your face. Yes, it is.
Now they when you see them, they this big with that little man on them.
I never could do with the summer sausage. They had the little fat and the corn peppers in it.
The peppercorn, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Oh, man. That was some moon cookies. What you say on it?
I said they done went from a full moon to a half
moon. And look, and if they get away with it, they give you a crescent moon and charge you the same price.
Hello.
They would give you a crescent moon if they could.
But it's the simple things of our childhood that we do we take for granted you know, that be home before the street light come on.
Oh, yeah. More
well,
definitely.
We only had one street, point, one light.
We live life. We didn't have electronics.
That light never went.
A moon cookie was, hey, that was living a blessed life with that hang down summer sausage, the rat cheese, you know.
Yes.
The cheese that didn't melt. The government cheese, you know.
That Stein syrup. What about this Stein syrup?
With some butter mixed in it.
Girl, you better know it. That old look, that red jet, that syrup that had, it looked like it come in a yellow and black paint can.
Yeah.
You had to pop the top off of it with a spoon. Yeah, with a butter knife or something.
I always used to mix a lot of butter in mine and stir it up.
That's what we're talking about. There it is. That's the only way you were gonna thin it out. But that's the potato biscuit, all the pieces.
Homemade biscuit. Body and soul together. You hear me? It
kept
body and soul together.
Say, man, that wasn't syrup. That was glue.
That was glue.
About y'all, but we had a lot of folks to feed. We had to find ways to feed all them out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you had to.
What about y'all ever ate the Johnny cakes?
Yes, what? Lord.
My grandmother would make them all day. They'd be stacked on the stove. They'd be stacked on the stove. You can walk by there and just grab you one and keep on running.
All day long.
It'd be all gummy.
Bro,
you put that Stein syrup and some butter on it.
We'll eat them all day. Let me tell you something. My childhood consisted of Johnny cakes and tea cakes in my grandmother's house at all times.
Yes, Lord, on the tea cakes. Thank you.
Tea cakes was always on the stove, and Johnny cakes was always on the stove. Now you lucky, you get some Johnny cakes, and you get you some beans with maybe some ground meat in it if you're lucky, and one little piece of chicken. That's your meal. That's it. Y'all you can get on up out of here.
I got to go find something to eat.
But y'all, I got to go get my wife and find her something to eat. We done made her hungry talking about all this food. But man, it was great to talk to y'all, and we got to get ready to get back in the studio. We're gonna start doing the show at the studio.
Yeah,
probably next week. Next Thursday, we'll all meet up at the studio, and we'll try to get the show together there. But yeah, it's been great, man. But you know, we're gonna bring our mask and we're gonna stick to the protocol and do what we need to do. But we're gonna stay safe and we're gonna keep this show going and keep bringing this entertainment and these great conversations to these people. Mm-hmm. So again, y'all have a great weekend. Reggie, I'll see you Saturday for the Man Cave show. And honest, it was always as usual.
We'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday in the daytime. You right?
Yes, yes,
I forgot about that. We'll be there Saturday with bells on.
With my so y'all, girl, come on, what? Come on, Queenie, come on with it.
Yeah. She's ready too, honest. She is ready.
Yes, see, we're talking about. We got food. The foods y'all got last time, we gonna knock that out the box. We got the chicken and waffles and
long as ain't no liquid smoke involved.
Oh no, not over there at Owners Them Church.
Not
at Owners Them Church. They got some real cooks over there.
Oh yeah, we got
all right, y'all. Come on. Let's sign off. Red Joe, go ahead.
All right, this is Red Joe coming from the north side via Sunnyside, Texas. It was a pleasure talking to y'all again. I can't wait next Thursday when we get in the studio and go ahead and talk about our topics like we used to.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. All right, Onis, go ahead and sign off, baby.
Okay, I'm on the north side also. Always a pleasure. Keep it real. Stay safe. Love you much. Till next week. Stay blessed.
And this is JD the Barber signing off. We'll see y'all next week, baby, on 219 to Talk.
Bye, y'all. Peace and hair grease. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. Let's go. 219. 219.